You've tuned into the Soundcast Stereo. I'm Christopher Coleman, your host. I'm on Channel 1. My New Year's resolution is to get rid of this cough that I've had since Christmas.
And I'm Eric Woods from Cinematic Sound Radio. I'm on Channel 2, and my New Year's resolution is to stop falling downstairs.
Soundcast Stereo episodes are two-channel, 30-minute conversations focused on a single topic from the world of film, television, or video game soundtracks. You can find all of our episodes of the Soundcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Google Music Podcasts, and wherever you find podcasts. You can send us your much-desired feedback at soundcast@tracksounds.com by way of email, or you can leave us a voicemail on our SpeakPipe widget, which you'll find on our site. You can also hit us up on Twitter at TrackSounds or on Facebook.
Today is Tuesday, January 17th, 2017, and this is episode 13, where Chris and I list our 10 most anticipated film scores of 2017.
Happy New Year, Eric.
Happy New Year, Chris.
How are you doing, man? How are the stairs treating you?
I'm sore. Yeah, I fell down the stairs outside because we had a nice storm and hurt my arm, my back of my neck. Could be concussed. Could be. Oof. But we're going to get through this. And like I said, hopefully I don't fall downstairs anymore.
Yeah, that's once a year is your limit. But if you're concussed, I look forward to a really interesting discussion tonight.
Start talking in tongues. Different languages.
Well, tonight we have a great topic, I think, as we're still in January, most of the year in front of us, which means most of the scores that we're going to listen to in the year of 2017 have yet to be released. So I thought we would talk about what some of our most anticipated scores of the year are, and we're going to break this down simply. We've got 10 that we've narrowed it down to, which was not the easiest task, but we're going to kind of go back and forth. And first, we're going to hit the big films with the big names and the big composers that everybody's probably already thinking about, talking about, and we'll get those out of the way. Because we'll be talking about them ad nauseum throughout the year, I'm sure. And then after we go through those big ones, we'll then bring up some sleeper hits or films or film scores that we think might be sleeper hits. Of course, all of the dates we're going to talk about and whether they really get released this year, things happen, movies move, you know, they may be slated for release this year and they get bumped or who knows what happens and they get bumped. So we're going with, as of today, January 17th, what's scheduled to be released. Of course, there's an infinite amount of indie films which don't get the kind of early, here we go with the coughing, the early release information that we get on the bigger films. So we can't really include too many of those. Whichever ones we could find that we thought might have good scores, we'll talk about. But clearly there are going to be a whole bunch. If we go back and listen to this episode at the end of 2017, we're like, well, where's this one? Where's that? How come you didn't talk about this? It's because we didn't know about it, probably. So, yeah, are you ready? I think I am. Are you ready to dive into some big film, big scores of 2017? Do you want to start?
Sure. I think we could start with the obvious selection with Star Wars Episode 8.
Oh, man. By John Williams. That was on my sleepers. That was on my sleeper hit.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm totally kidding. I should have milked it a little bit more because you're all.
You should have, because you know, I was like,
like, dude, what are you doing about? No, I was really soured from Rogue One, and now Star Wars is just like, whatever.
Are you joking about that?
I have soured on it, but it's still my most anticipated score of the year. Even though I'm not ranking these, it is my most anticipated score of the year.
Yeah, I'm really interested to hear where Williams takes the Jedi Steps theme.
Yeah.
And what this is going to be, what the movie's going to be.
Yes.
Which, again, I hope is not a retread of another Star Wars film. And it's just going to be really cool to see kind of Luke in action finally, and what Williams is going to do with that. I mean, it was really tough to know what Williams was going to do for Episode 7. And now that we have that there, we kind of have that blueprint, and we know what Williams is capable of doing. So I think we can only expect greatness unless he kind of goes back into Attack of the Clones mode, which was, for me, the most disappointing prequel score out there, even though it had a lush love theme and a few great action cues. I just really hope that he follows episode 7 up with 8 with more new themes and the way he, you know, kind of scored Empire Strikes Back. I'm not expecting Empire Strikes Back, but, you know, using the old themes and then coming up with maybe 3 or 4 new ones to bring into the Star Wars lexicon, I guess. And I'm just so excited to hear where he's going to take the music.
Yeah, I agree. I really look forward to themes and motifs that work well together. Mm-hmm. That's the original trilogy brought for me was all those themes flowed so well from one to the other.
Yes.
And not so much in the prequels. There was some of that, but not as much. And I think especially with Rey's theme, that goes so well with the Force theme and all of that. I hope he brings it. I don't know how well it flows into Kylo Ren's theme. That kind of just feels a little bit like an outlier. So I don't know about that, but hopefully he just brings in more things that just work really well together as a listening experience.
For sure.
So we'll see. We'll see. I'm definitely amped for that. And I'm sure most of our listeners are amped for that as well. So I'll put one out there that is a big one that I think might be on your list too, but let's see. Thor Ragnarok, which releases in November, and the score is by Mark Mothersbaugh. I'm really, really, really interested in this movie to see the direction Waititi takes it, and a Mark Mothersbaugh. I mean, just a director and a composer I just never would have associated with the Thor franchise. So I'm really curious to hear what Mark Mothersbaugh is going to do in conjunction with what Waititi is going to show us visually. Did that make your list at all?
Yeah, it was my number 2, right behind Star Wars for sure, because of the things that you brought up, the selection of composer, which is quite surprising. I liked Thor, the first movie, a lot, not so much the second one, but I did like where they were going sort of musically, where it was a little bit more bigger and thematic, choral, even though I wasn't a huge fan of Tyler's score, and I wasn't a big fan of Patrick Doyle's score either, but I just think that Mothersbaugh brings a real original voice to a series of films and, of course, to the Marvel Cinematic Universe as well. It's unfortunate that I would assume we're going to get a new Thor theme.
Probably. Again.
But I think that, you know, knowing Mark Mothersbaugh and his musical background, it's going to be interesting to see where he takes the score, whether it goes more towards the electronic side or whether he brings in the big symphonic score that he's capable of doing. If anybody's heard Pee-wee's Big Holiday,
I mean, yeah, you turned me onto that.
Massive orchestral cues in there.
Yeah,
and so I'm kind of interested to see if he's going to bring those two sensibilities together and just make something just incredibly unique. And we'll see if it can kind of get up to the level of scores that I like in the MCU, which is Iron Man 3, Ant Man. Things of those sorts that are just kind of its own thing and doesn't necessarily have to sound like everything else. So, and I hope the same thing for the film. I just really hope it's its own thing and it's an enjoyable experience because I'm kind of superheroed out. I don't know if you are, but it's still a series that I'm looking forward to continuing and watching.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm still eager to see that and at least one other superhero film this year, which I won't mention just yet. But you know, when you said Mark Mothersbaugh on the 80s vibe, you know, I would have initially my feeling was like, nah, they won't do that. But then when I think about the artwork that they've done for that, which is very retro 80s, I wonder if they're setting us up for some. I don't know why it would be 80s. It's not like they're going back in time, as far as I know. But that Thor Ragnarok logo is super 80s looking. And so I wonder if they'll, and you know, a lot of the 80s vibe in terms of musically is kind of in again. So maybe, and I think that could be really interesting. It could be awful, but it also could be a really interesting score in the end.
I hope they stay with him. That's what I'm worried about, is that he'll be a last minute replacement for, God knows, it could be Giacchino. He seems to be replacing everybody. I hope they don't get cold feet, and then I hope that this film is going to do well, and they think it's going to do well, and they'll just keep him on and trust the director with his choice of composer.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope so too. What's your next one?
Let's do a coin flip. All right, we'll do. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Valerin and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Oh, okay.
By Alexandre Desplat.
Yeah, interesting.
The reason I'm putting that is, did you have that on your list?
No, it's not on my. It's not okay. My most anticipated.
The reason I say that is because I want to hear Desplat's Star Wars score. And yeah. I don't know if it's going to go in that direction since the Luc Besson film.
Right.
But I still think that we might get some orchestral bombast. And I'm hoping that there are some leftovers from the 3 or 4 weeks that Desplat did some writing on for Star Wars. And he's going to recycle that in this new kind of science fiction action adventure film. So I'm really looking forward to just kind of what we might have got if Desplat was still Rogue One.
It almost made my list for that reason. And then I thought, you know, I think Besson is so quirky. I think he's gonna ask for something more quirky than from Desplat than we would hear in a Star Wars. Maybe there's some of the action stuff or something. I don't know. But as I thought about it, and then I had to move things around, and I was really picking which are my really most anticipated. It just barely doesn't make my list. But it could surprise me. But he hasn't done a big movie, big action film score that has really thrilled me all that much. I mean, Harry Potter Part 8 or whatever it was serviceable. But I don't
Rise
return
of the
to
Guardians
it.
Guardians was about the biggest adventure type of music that we've gotten from him, and Golden Compass as well. But I was disappointed by that.
Yeah, both of those did very little for me. I know a lot of people love them, especially Rise of the Guardians, but I didn't connect to it. Okay, let me go to my next one, and that's another superhero film, and that's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which comes out on May 5th as of today, and is scored by Tyler Bates. I'm guessing that's not on your list.
No, because of Bates.
Exactly.
However, the film, yes, absolutely. Uh-huh. I will be one of the first in line to see that because I loved the first one so much. It was so fresh, but the score didn't really resonate with me. Even though it does have a really good theme, it didn't really kind of stay with me. So I'm interested to hear what he is going to do with it. I'm really way more interested to hear what songs they're going to bring into the film, and whether they're going to take a chance, because right now bringing songs into comic book movies is kind of the thing to do. And oh my God, Suicide Squad just overdid it completely.
They overshot that.
There was no creativity in the selections of those.
It was so on the nose. It was so on the nose. Like, really? It just made you roll your eyes.
It did. So I'm really kind of way more interested in the music supervision of this film rather than the score.
Hmm. I'm excited for the songs as well. I mean, I think that was one of the few song soundtracks that were like, I need to have that in conjunction with the score because that is the personality of the film.
Yes.
And I feel it'll be the same for this, but I really enjoyed, I think when we did our Marvel top 13 or whatever it was, I think Guardians was much higher on my list than yours, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
I really enjoy that score a lot. I like Tyler Bates in that mode, and he doesn't get to go into that mode all that often. And so I'm looking forward to him expanding the thematic material that he came up with and whatever else he's going to introduce new, because it seems like there's a heck of a lot of new stuff in this movie, new characters, new locations. So I'm really quite interested to see if he'll continue, at least from my perspective of what was a very good score, and be able to build on that in the second volume.
Yeah.
What's your next one?
My next one is Blade Runner 2049. Johan Johansson.
Mm-hmm. That's on my list for sure.
And I just want to know whether he's going to do something completely different. I wasn't a big fan. Actually, I wasn't a fan of Arrival. Sicario was effective. And I really did
Or the score or both?
The score. Like, I can't. The film, I'm a little iffy on it. Even after that first trailer, I'm a little iffy. Oh, but I like Villeneuve a lot.
You weren't into Arrival the film or the score?
Arrival the film, and I recently had a discussion about this with a coworker of mine who saw it and was incredibly angry over it, and I feel his pain. I think it's a good movie. I think that there are two major plot holes that just absolutely... Okay, one major plot hole and one major decision at the end of the film that absolutely ruined it for me. The score, I didn't feel it at all, with the exception, again, Richter's pieces were very effective. I appreciate the process. I think it's quite interesting what he did and how he did it. I appreciate Sicario more so than Arrival and its use in the movie that it accompanied. And I'm wondering whether Johansson is gonna go down the Vangelis route, or whether he's really just going to do his own thing. So that's why it's so high on my list, because I'm super curious about the sound of this movie.
Yeah, I put it on mine for the same reasons. I'm super, super curious about the film. The trailer, you know, looked pretty good. The part that, ironically, the part that took me out was when when Harrison Ford showed up.
Yes, me too.
It just like felt weird. It just felt like old man Harrison, you know. And I was like, what are you doing there?
He just looks like an everyday old grumpy guy now. Yeah. It doesn't matter how you dress him up. It's like, who's that old guy?
It really took me out. But, you know, it's a trailer, a teaser. Let's see what else comes down the road. But I am genuinely interested. I know whatever Johansson does, it won't just be some standard fare.
Agreed.
Hopefully he takes some of Vangelis and combines it with what he does. I think that would be a really interesting score. So that one's definitely on my list. Let's see. I have another one. And War for the Planet of the Apes comes out July 14th. Michael Giacchino. I'm going to guess that that's not on your list.
Correct.
Ha. Because you weren't a big fan of Dawn of.
Not a fan of the score. Loved the movie, but not a fan of that score whatsoever. So,
okay.
I like Doyle's a lot, actually, but not really a fan of Giacchino's effort. To be totally honest,
didn't like the homages to the original film and Goldsmith did and all of that.
It was okay. I felt it was rather quiet. It was really, really, really quiet. I thought the end credit piece was really good. It was probably the only track that really felt like a true and complete piece for me. And it just, again, it wasn't, it was one, it just didn't resonate with me. It just, I didn't really feel it. So I don't know what to expect with the new score that he's doing, but, funny, because I'm a fan, I'm a big fan of Michael Giacchino, and I can say that maybe I'm getting a little Giacchino'd out.
He's doing a lot of stuff.
I kind of wish he would take a break and maybe just work on one movie.
he's a busy dude.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it because, one, I liked Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the movie and the score. I'm excited to see where he takes things. But if this is the finale of the trilogy, then I expect it to be a much larger, much more aggressive score this time out. And I think it will maybe have a lot of the type of music that you found lacking in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
That's a good point.
So I'm anticipating it. When I saw that teaser, I was like, wow, this looks phenomenal. And I just have to believe that Giacchino's going to up the ante in terms of the tone of the score and the heft of the score for this one. So it's definitely high up there on my most anticipated list. You have another one?
Yeah. So from one Giacchino to another, I'm going to say Spider-Man Homecoming. Not really looking forward to the movie. I don't need another Spider-Man reboot. Again, this is kind of a curiosity for me, because I'm wondering where Giacchino's going to go with this film and the music, because we know that he's a fan of kind of that 60s style of music. And I'm wondering whether it's going to go towards 60s cartoon, or whether he's gonna kind of do his own thing. Is it going to be? That's what I'm wondering. Like, is the classic theme gonna show up? Is he gonna use that because he's done it before? And what kind of, it's the type of sound that I'm wondering whether it's going to be more along Speed Racer or whether it's going to be more big and adventurous, or are there going to be electronics in it like the last two series of Spider-Man films? So I just don't know where it's going to go. Like, is it going to be rooted in popular music these days since it is a high school picture?
Yeah.
That's where I'm kind of curious and scared and excited at the same time.
Yeah, I you know, it's not on my list. I toyed with it, but in the end I was like, no, I'm not all that, you know, I'm not anticipating it. I will see it. I will be interested, but I'm not highly anticipating it. But you bring up some good points that I hadn't thought about. I had not considered that maybe he resurrects the old 60 theme, which is still my favorite of all the Spider-Man themes ever written or performed. How he could take that and bring it into the modern into a modern context, I don't know. You know, I would love a 60s style score, but with the teaser and what it looked like, it feels way too contemporary, which it is, for that music to work. And maybe the theme, he could do that, but I think you brought up a good point with Speed Racer and that sort of thing. I can hear that. And then I hear like Inside Out for like the high school-y relational stuff. Yeah. You know, I can hear that little Inside Out theme playing, but when he's on the screen with whoever his love interest is going to be or whatever, you know, I just something like that. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I'm not really excited about it, but it could be if he brings that 60 themes back, I will be ecstatic. Okay, my last one under the big film category. I don't know how big it is, to be honest. I think it will be big. The people involved are big. But Murder on the Orient Express comes out in November, directed by Kenneth Branagh. And, of course, that means the score is from Patrick Doyle. And I'm always excited about whatever Patrick Doyle's next score is going to be. When he teams up with Kevin Branagh, that usually means something pretty amazing. And so this one kind of snuck into my list because first glance, I was like, Murder on the Orient Express. But the more I thought about Kenneth Branagh, Patrick Doyle, I had to get it on there. Does it resonate for you at all? Or is there
totally. Yeah? Love awesome. Kenneth Branagh, love Patrick Doyle. These two together, they usually produce great stuff. Again, not a big fan of Thor, but then to see Cinderella, Doyle in kind of an action adventure mode is always good news, and it's kind of in a classic sounding adventure score. This is just perfect. These two are going to light it up. It's going to be a blast. I haven't really heard anything about it until I took a look at the IMDb page today. So I'm super excited about it. And that popped up on my list easily. That was easily one of my most anticipated movies and movie scores of the year. So I cannot wait to sample awesome. That one.
Okay, what's your next one?
I got a couple, but I'm going to say Dunkirk with Hans Zimmer's music. Always a curiosity with Christopher Nolan and his films, and the trailer looks pretty enormous and pretty exciting. And I'm really excited to see what he brings to the war picture, and whether he does something new or whether we're actually going to see what kind of looks like real vehicles and real planes and real ships, even though, you know, most of it most likely be CGI. But there's rumor that he's going to crash a vintage warcraft into the sea or something to that effect.
Yeah,
and
that
like,
just
oh my
breaks
god
my
that's
heart.
Heartbreaking.
It's like, don't do that. Make a fabrication of one,
yes,
and do it, but
for
crash
sure.
the real one. That's
but
crazy.
I have a fascination with aircraft, World War II aircraft. I used to live in a city where some of the oldest aircraft in the world are kept. Hamilton, Ontario has only one of two airborne Lancaster bombers in the world.
Really?
And that thing would fly over my house in the summer weekly.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it was... It was an incredible sound. Sometimes he'd be accompanied with by a Spitfire, and these things would just fly over my house. You know, like I said, weekly, bi-weekly. It was an incredible experience. And we'd have our major air show as well during Father's Day. And what an experience that was. And so that's one of the reasons why I can't wait to see this film. So as for the score, again, always interested in a Zimmer Nolan score. And, you know, I'm hoping he gets a chance to score to picture instead of writing 2 or 3 hours of music that no one's just going to pick apart and needle drop. So hopefully we can get some real dramatic moments that seem as if they're hitting certain sync points and certain emotions on purpose instead of just kind of filtering through 3 hours of music and hopefully getting it right. So, yeah, really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that one was on my list for a long time, and eventually it fell off the top 10, mostly because, how different can it be from what? I mean, I guess Interstellar is a good indication that he can go a very different direction.
For sure.
But again, to go something even different from Interstellar, something different from Inception and Dark Knight and all that, I don't know. And so I'm definitely curious. I can't say I'm all that excited, but I am curious. I'm more anticipating the movie. It's one of my most anticipated movies as a whole. But the score, I'm just kind of like, well, we'll see what we get. Hopefully it'll be a surprisingly different sort of animal than we've gotten before. I have a feeling it's going to be interstellar-y on some level. I don't know why I feel that, but that's just kind of what I hear as I saw that. I saw the 7-minute piece that they did in the IMAX in front of Rogue One.
Right.
And it was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see that.
I don't think there's any music in it, though, from what I recall. So
I'm just wondering how many airplanes he's going to record and make that into a theme.
Turn into music.
Although, a little side note on that, Michael Giacchino did that. He didn't record any plane sounds, but he managed to recreate it with the orchestra at the beginning of his main theme for Secret Weapons Over Normandy. So if you listen to that first chord, that was his goal. His goal was to make it sound like the plane of the engine of a World War II airplane. So it was really cool. I think he was done with kind of low brass, the tam tam, and God, what else was he using? I can't remember. But it was
score.
An amazing roar. And I mean, I was there live to see it too. And so it was wow, what a sound! It sounded like a buzzing World War II bomber. So if you get a chance, listen to that first chord of the main theme, and it goes on for quite a while. It's kind of like this droning sound while the trumpet's playing over top with the main theme itself. But really, 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 really cool device. So I have a feeling that's something that Zimmer would do as well. But he'd actually record airplanes and write a 4-note theme based on that,
or maybe a 1-note theme.
Maybe. Half a note. He's got to be.
Oh, there you go.
He's got, half a note.
Now that's economical writing right there.
That's right. It's dripping right down.
Okay, so let's see. Did we go through all my big ones? Yeah, we did. So now we're getting to kind of my last four or sleepers that I'm sure will get their share of press, but nothing compared to the first ones we went through. So the first one I have up is a film that comes out in October, and it has been co-written and produced and directed by none other than Dean Devlin, and it stars Gerard Butler, Abbie Cornish, Alexandra Lara, Jim Sturgis, Amir Wacked, I think. I won't say Whacked or Wacked. Ed Harris and Andy Garcia. The film is called Geostorm. Have you heard of this film?
Well, what is Geostorm?
It's a film about a satellite designer who tries to save the world from a storm of epic proportions caused by climate-controlling satellites.
What?
Dean Devlin.
Dean Devlin. It's Dean
of
Devlin.
Of course. Of course it's a global catastrophic film.
Oh, my God.
But the score, it's not by his two favorite composers, at least according to Wikipedia, it's not. It's written by Pinar Toprak.
Yeah, that's what she was working on. Mm-hmm. Okay, Yeah, because I follow her on Facebook, and I saw her. She had a picture of her and Dean Devlin working on something, but I didn't know the name of the film. I thought it was a television series, actually.
Geostorm, bro. Mark it down.
That is so exciting, though. That is so exciting. You know what? I hope this film kicks ass and that Pienaar finally gets the recognition she deserves, because she's outstanding. And if anybody out there still hasn't heard Wind Gods,
exactly,
go out and listen to that one. And that was just recently released as well. Mm-hmm. So, oh my God, great choice. Great choice of composer.
I mean, that was out of the blue. I was like, really?
Yeah.
I hope they stay with
that's
her.
That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Wow. There I thought it was a television series. That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm so excited for her.
Yeah, I hope it's not a television series. It was under film, so I'm taking it as a film.
Great.
All right, what's your next one?
My next one is a small religious animated movie called Max and Me. And the original score is by Mark McKenzie.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
And Mark McKenzie.
Cool thing about this, it was recorded in London at Abbey Road. He's got Joshua Bell. He's got the London Singers. He's got the Libra Boys Choir. Wow. 84 of London's finest symphonic musicians. It will be released on Sony Classical.
Ooh.
And I cannot wait for this soundtrack. The film, whatever. seriously, I don't think anybody saw The Greatest Miracle either, but it just produced,
probably not,
in my opinion, the greatest score that Mark McKenzie has ever done. So if he's doing another religious film, then I am all up for this, and I cannot wait. The guy has yet to write a bad score, and this is really, it's on the top of my, near the top of my list of just scores I want to hear, not so much films, so... Cannot wait, especially with the talent involved. How can this be bad?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I didn't know about it until just now. So I'm excited to hear that he's got another, what's sounding like a huge, majestic, melodic type of score coming. He hasn't done one like that since The Greatest Miracle, has he?
No, I mean, he's written something. He wrote a big score for Dragonheart 3, but... didn't get that one with a symphony orchestra. So still really solid effort. And I think he's doing Dragonheart 4 as well.
What?
So,
there's a fourth one?
Oh, of course. They keep him going. Why not?
Even Christmas. Okay. Yeah.
I'll take it as long as Mark McKenzie's still writing music. So
True.
What a project.
Okay. Well, my next one comes out shortly, February 3rd. And... it's an American science fiction film directed by Peter Chelsom, produced by Richard B. Lewis, and written by Alan Loeb, from a story by Stuart Schill, Lewis and Alan Loeb. And the film stars Asa Butterfield, Britt Robertson, Gary Oldman, and Carla Gugino. Do you have any idea what this film is?
No.
The Space Between Us. And the score is by Andrew Lockington.
Ah.
And it's been a while.
It's been a while
since I don't remember anything coming from him last year. And was it you who are not a big fan of his work?
Not a huge fan.
Which one was it? The Journey?
Journey and then Journey 2, which everyone loved.
He did Journey 2.
I love the theme for Journey 2. I really don't like the main theme for the Journey films. And I did like the big end credit cue from San Andreas as well. So,
Oh, that's right. That was that last year or 2 years ago? That was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
That was 2015, yeah.
Yeah.
No, cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking at forward to what he does. It's a science fiction film. I think this is the film where somehow this Asa Butterfield is like born on Mars and then he comes to Earth. Like his family somehow they travel to Mars and he's born there, and then he comes back to Earth. I don't know. I think he's gonna die or something. This is all in the trailer. Okay. So I think it's going to be emotional. I think it's going to have all those kinds of pulling the heartstrings sort of thing. So I think it could deliver some really great music. I don't know how much I'm into the movie itself, but I think there's a lot of potential there for some really wonderful, memorable, early 2017 themage for us to listen to.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next on my list is, again, one I just discovered. and comes out in February. It's a costume drama called Tulip Fever, directed by Justin Chadwick. It stars Alicia Vikander, as well as Zach Galifianakis is in this, but Christoph Waltz and Dame Judi Dench.
Wow.
And it's in, it takes place in 17th century Amsterdam. And the original score is by Danny Elfman.
Whoa. Okay. I've not heard of this.
Elfman in kind of drama mode, like complete out drama. How can that be bad? Like Black Beauty and Summersby. Wow. I can't wait for this.
That comes out in February?
That comes out in February, and it's looks like it's produced by Harvey Weinstein. And so this is something that just kind of, I'm like, wow, I looked up Danny Elfman's name. I'm like, what's he doing this year?
Mm-hmm.
And it says it comes out February 24th.
Hmm. Okay.
And and the trailer looks okay. Nothing too great, but Christoph Waltz looks ridiculous in it.
Is he the villain?
I think everybody's kind of ganging up here on our main character, he just has this frilly thing around his neck in this image that I'm looking at right now on the IMDb, and he just does. He looks so uncomfortable. Danny Elfman doing a drama, super. Can't wait. Can't wait for that one.
Okay, I'm intrigued. I had no idea about this one. I have two left in my 10. This one comes out September 22nd. I heard some rumblings about it last year, but didn't know too much about it. This one's an American action film, and it's written by Ken Nolan and Eric Warren Singer. It's a Lionsgate release, and it's a drama based on the elite crew of men who battled the Yarnell Hill fire. The wildfire in Prescott, Arizona in 2013 that claimed the lives of 19 of their members. It's called Granite Mountain, and it's directed by Joseph Kosinski and scored by Joseph Trapanese. I love Joseph Kosinski's visual sense. Tron Legacy. What was that other one? Man, I just lost it.
Did you do the Divergent series?
No. Didn't? No. No, I don't think did he.
Did he do Earth to Echo? Am I wrong with that one?
No.
I'm all over the place.
What the heck was that Tom Cruise movie?
Edge of Darkness.
No.
Right. No, he didn't do that either?
I don't even know what that is.
The other futuristic one. Edge of Darkness. What the hell was that movie? The time travel one that was like Groundhog Day, but in
time in travel.
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
Wasn't time travel?
Yeah, it was. He kept on repeating the same day over and over again. Not the movie you're talking about. I got the wrong.
Oh, you're
name.
Thinking of a different movie. Together. Edge of what the heck? Is
I know what you're talking about. I know this other one you're talking about.
Doggone, it makes me mad when I forget stuff like that. Anyway,
I'm gonna get it for you.
That movie gets hated on a lot. I really like that movie. At least visually, it was stunning, and the end was terrible. The end was stupid. Okay.
The Trapanese score was Oblivion.
That's it.
The movie, the other movie that I was thinking of was Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh no, that was Christoph Beck.
Right,
who scored that one, which wasn't my favorite score of his. The movie was great.
No,
Oblivion, and Tron Legacy. That was Joseph Kosinski. I think he's an amazing visualist.
Totally.
I don't know how that's going to translate into fighting forest fires. It's not going to be so stylistic, I'm guessing. But in any case, I'm excited to hear because his combination with Joe Trapanese seems to work out pretty well musically. So
I think so.
I've slid that in as a sleeper that it could just come out of nowhere and blow our minds. I don't know how exactly, but the last great firefighting score I can think of is Backdraft.
For sure.
There may have been some after that, but we know that it can be done. So
yes.
So Granite Mountain, September 22nd.
Good choice.
Yeah, what
good
you got?
Good choice. Now, do you want me to bring up Emoji the movie at all? the only reason I'm going
to
say that
on how much this isn't my choice. This isn't my choice.
But Patrick Doyle's writing the score for it.
Is he really?
Yes.
Come on.
I know.
Patrick.
I know.
Bro.
Think about how much fun he can have with this one, though. Right?
I guess.
It's so stupid that he can probably do whatever he wants and have a great time.
Why would you want to?
Maybe he needs to work.
Well, I'm sure. Well, does he? Does he need to work that bad?
What happens if this movie actually turns out to be really, really good? What happens? You know, they actually put some thought into this. What are the chances?
Angry Birds movie?
Angry Birds was horrible, but it was like 5 or 6 years too late.
And
they
emojis?
Rushed that one. Yeah, I know.
Unless he gets to like write a little motif for the smiley emoji, a motif for the angry emoji.
Hey, there you go. Now you're thinking.
I can't imagine why he would want to do this.
So yeah, the only reason I'm looking forward to that is just for Patrick Doyle's score for sure.
Yeah.
So
it could be interesting.
I didn't know.
It's not brave.
It's not
okay.
Brave. But you know what? People like emojis. Maybe it'll be a big hit. Maybe they'll get him more work.
That's what
I'm hoping.
I guess.
Okay. I'll pick a real choice. How's about Ghost in the Shell with Clint Mansell?
Yeah, that's on my honorable mentions. It just fell off at the last minute of my list.
Are you looking forward to the movie?
I kind of am. You know, I'm kind of over the you know, Scarlett being the lead, because it looks visually amazing.
Yes.
And I think a Clint Mansell score could go fairly well with what the visuals that I saw. So yeah, I am looking forward to it, just not as much as some others. But it's a good call.
Yeah, I saw the trailer and I'm like, wow, they're really trying hard to really do the source material.
Yeah.
You know, justice. I think the casting is perfect. Absolutely perfect. And I sort of get the controversy, but I kind of don't, because I never really considered the character to be, you know, Asians, the worst word to bring up, but you know what I mean? I don't think it necessarily...
But they were. I mean, they clearly were.
For me, I didn't get that. I don't get that out of anime. I don't.
Because I do see
bigger eyes. I see lighter skin, and I think that I never associated
big eyes as a trope of.
Yes, right. But I never see. I don't really watch anime in its native language. So when I watch it, it's like even when I was a kid watching, you know, cartoon television shows that were, you know, brought over, and everything was dubbed in English. So I never really associated with.
I see.
Right. You know what I mean? So that's why I don't see such a big deal with this. So I never ever associated them with being of that nationality or of that race.
That's a good point. So that's a very good point.
So that's the only thing that I don't really. Yeah.
Because
so
I'm the opposite.
The casting is great. Okay.
I'm the opposite in that I can't stand English dubs.
Okay.
I always turn on the original, whatever language, but in particular, Japanese film, and I put the subtitles on. Because they just, you know, all these Disney dubs of all of these of the Studio Ghibli, I can't. Those English dubs are the worst thing. I mean, I know they've got the most talented actors in the world, but I hear those voices coming out of those faces, and I'm like, this is just horrible, and I can't abide it even for a second. So I never really thought about that before. Though, so you brought up a really good point in that if you're used to hearing, you know, especially in anime, Japanese voices coming out of those characters. It's clearly like these are Japanese characters, but if you only listen to the English dubs, I could see that. So that kind of makes sense. But you know, it's not the biggest deal in the world. But some of the rationale I've heard behind it is like, well, it's just a city in the world. You know, it's not necessarily representing Japan. I'm like, I don't think that was the original intention. But the truth being told, the movie would just not be made. Not in the U.S.
Right.
If it had an all Japanese or all Asian cast, it just wouldn't happen. So it's either this or nothing.
Right.
Or it's made in Japan or somewhere else at a much lower budget and all of that sort of thing. Yeah. So, you know, I'm game. I mean, in the end, it'll be how effective was the movie, you know, and then all of this other stuff will be secondary stuff to gripe about. So I'm with you on looking forward to it. I am. And that's only a couple months away, March 31st.
Yeah, at the end of March, yeah.
So my last one on my 10 is also set in World War II, And I'm really excited about this. I didn't really know about it until very recently. But it's about Winston Churchill, and he faces a crucial moment against Adolf Hitler's army in the beginning of the Second World War. And it's called Darkest Hour, and it's directed by Joe Wright. And so the score, then, is by Dario Marinelli. So instant anticipation for both the film and the film score.
Yes.
I can't wait for both of these things. I think it's going to be great. I love just about everything Joe Wright does and just about everything Dario Marinelli does. So it should be higher. I should have brought it up earlier, but I don't know how much of that is on people's radar. So I saw it as a sleeper hit.
No, that's
perfect.
I think
it's not till November 21st. So Thanksgiving is when this will come out.
Great. Yeah, I'm always up for another World War II movie. You're right. The people involved, I think, are perfect. Dario Marinelli is just on fire. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't heard of that movie before. So thanks for bringing that one up. That's on my radar for sure.
Yeah, should be a good one. Should be a good one. Did you do 10 or do you have one more?
I have like a bunch more, but I'm just kind of thinking, which one do I want to bring up? And I think I'm going to bring up King Arthur.
Mm, interesting.
Which has a real interesting choice of composer, and it's Daniel Pemberton.
I couldn't find a composer.
Daniel Pemberton.
Oh, that's right. I did know that.
Yeah.
I did know that. I forgot, though.
And I think, he's doing some really good work. And,
it's true.
You know, we'll see what... it's directed by Guy Ritchie, so this is kind of...
It's going to be a different.
Yeah. It's kind of, totally different than what he's done before. But he's worked with Pemberton before. Did a great job on The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Mm-hmm. And so to hear Pemberton in this adventure mode, in this kind of Arthurian legend, maybe it's a fantasy. We'll see how far they go down that road.
Yeah.
It's skipping my mind right now, but I think Pemberton's done something like this before in the past. And it was one of his smaller scores, and I think Movie Score Media released it. And so there goes my research, but...
I'm trying to think of what title that might be.
I'm trying to think of what it was.
Nothing's coming to mind.
If anything pops up, I'll just kind of blurt it out.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I really like him as a composer, and really cannot wait to hear what he does for this one.
Yeah, yeah. That I did. Somehow I forgot that he was tapped for that. That should prove interesting one way or another. Here's one that, now we're off of my top 10, so I'll go through these fairly quickly, but here's one that I've heard one track for. It's out on February 17th. It's called A Cure for Wellness, and the score is by Benjamin Walfish.
Oh, nice.
And the one piece that I heard was absolutely beautiful. I mean, in terms of new music for 2017, it's the best piece I've heard this month. Really great. And so my expectations went way through the roof when I heard that one particular piece. And so he always does a great job. I love
it. Now,
is
that Walfish being Walfish? Like, you know, like orchestral?
Yes. Yes. Good. Hornery kind of.
Excellent.
Sort of deal. I was like, oh, so we're going there. Okay. And so I hope the whole score is like that, because it was absolutely fantastic. I think you can find the track. I forget. One of those, I don't know if it's Variety or one of those movie sites got an exclusive it wasn't exclusive because I tweeted it out. So if you go on the Track Sounds timeline, you'll see a tweet that has the SoundCloud link on it for the track they release. And it's quite beautiful.
Excellent.
Another one I have just real quickly, March 24th, Power Rangers, Brian Tyler. Not looking forward to the film at all. Don't care about it at all.
Right.
But it could. I mean, Brian Tyler's kind of dropped off the map over the. He's been doing all his DJ stuff of late, and so I don't know when he wrote this score, but I'll be interested to hear something new from him, because he really hasn't done anything. Well, he did a lot last year, actually, didn't he? Last thing he did was Now You See Me Too.
He did some great work for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So he, for him, it was kind of quiet for a little while and hadn't heard much by way of announcement. So when I heard about this, I was like, oh, yeah, I have some interest in that.
Yes.
What about you? Do you have any others?
I'm looking forward, not to the film, the Jumanji remake. Only because James Newton Howard is involved. So him in kind of action adventure mode. Again, hopefully they allow him to be just James Newton Howard and do his thing. So when he's in that mode, he does a really, really good job. So
can't wait
for that one. And then there was a movie called Matilda. It's a Russian film about a ballerina. And that comes out soon. I think it's March. And it features music by Marco Beltrami. So kind of an interesting project for him. So I really like it when, you know, Marco Beltrami is writing kind of in those expansive, expressive orchestral modes. So hopefully he gets to do something different here. And kind of brings a big orchestral sound to his dramatic sensibilities instead of maybe along the lines of the Buck Sanders droning stuff. Let's hope he gets away from that.
Yeah, and that doesn't sound like it'll be a good fit.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, Russians and ballerinas inspire him to do something great. So kind of looking forward to that one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I didn't know about that. So that has perked my ears. I'll just list a whole bunch of other ones, and then you can just comment on any one that you find interesting. On April 12th, Gifted, it's a film with a score by Rob Simonson. And since Nerve, I mean, I've liked Rob Simonson for a while, but Nerve is actually one of my favorite scores of 2016.
Yes.
I mean, it's a fantastic score. So now whenever I see his name, I'm like, oh, okay. You never know what's gonna come out. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Who is that? Oh, A United Kingdom. I thought that was coming out this year, but it's coming out February 17th. The director's Amma Asante. She did Belle a couple years ago. The score was by Rachel Portman, which I loved quite a bit. I'm assuming Rachel Portman might be doing this one too, but I'm not sure. We'll know soon enough. I think this might be her third film. And she does a fantastic job. So this one, I don't know if you're familiar with that title at all, but it's an African prince and he marries like a British lady, a white British lady, and brings her home to Africa. And it's like a real story. And so it's like the king kind of has a thing about that. And so, I'm really curious as to see how the dynamics of their relationship and all of this stuff, how that works out, and the music that accompanies it should be emotional, should be big, I'm hoping. So that's another one. The Chips remake, I didn't know they were making Chips.
I know, I saw that trailer, I'm like, what?
They are. I haven't seen the trailer, I just saw it written out, I have to seek
it
that out.
It didn't look very good.
Oh. Well,
it looked like kind of a gross-out comedy rather than...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the composer's Phil Eisler, and I'm kind of interested when I just heard the concept of Chips... I'm thinking, oh, well, Chips, you got to use the Chips theme, right? Well, now that you tell me it's a gross-out comedy, maybe not. But that's another one. Since Alexander Desplat is on Valerian and the City of Thousand Planets, you might be wondering, well, what's Eric Serra up to if he's not scoring it? Well, he's scoring something. Don't worry. Wow. September 1st, Renegades. Hmm. The first movie ever entitled Renegades. It's being scored by Eric Serra. So if you're wondering what happened, that's where he's coming in for us with a score. Who knows what his sound is like now? I haven't heard anything from him from like 15 years, so I don't know.
Right.
Christoph Beck has American Made September 29th, and that's all I'll bring up. Okay. What else? Do you have any other ones?
Yeah, the last one is Ferdinand, which comes out at the end of the year. It's a Blue Sky production. People who did Rio, and John Powell's on board.
Oh, so
for that retirement.
Good for him. Good for him. Glad to have him back in the game.
And it's about a bull who doesn't want to be a bullfighter anymore, and be in the ring and be
hard
part
to
of that.
Blame him.
Yeah,
hard to blame him to want to get stabbed by a thousand. Spears and swords.
Ooh, how gory.
I'm sure that's not going to be in the kids'
version. That's the opening.
His dad gets taken out.
Oh, he's got like 10 swords.
He's like, you know what, Ma? I'm out. I just will be a stud or something, but I'm not going out like that.
Oh man, yeah. Well, Powell in, you know, Spanish mode. It's good.
Oh yeah,
it's
that could good. Be something.
It's good. So, you know, hopefully he has some time to write this and doesn't pawn this off on someone else.
Yeah.
You know, he's got till the end of the year, which is, I think, pretty good timing for him.
Sure.
And I really hope that we get a chance to hear the classical work that he premiered, I think,
yes,
last year.
Absolutely.
Such a tragic story behind that, too, but we won't get into that one. But I would love to hear that piece. I'd love to purchase it. Just give us an option, because
from
what I've heard, it's probably some of the best stuff he's ever done. So.
Wow. It's got someone's got to release that.
I hope so.
I can't imagine they would.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for my list.
Okay, and that's pretty much it for mine. I think we've put out a lot of good stuff for people. If they didn't know, that may have perked their ears a little bit. And there's probably a couple notable films that neither of us brought up that we may get some tweets or emails about. Yeah, and we know the ones. I know the exact ones that people are like, hey, what about this or that? Yeah, go ahead and bring it up. I'll be happy to tell you. I was expecting you to bring that up since you love that theme so much.
I really do like that theme, and I want it to do so well. I'm just hearing so many bad things about it now.
Really?
I'm hearing, reading these reports about DC insiders and whatever, saying it's horrible. And I'm like, how can you continue to screw this up? So I hope they don't, because the trailer looked amazing.
Yeah, it did until that end.
First time
title came up.
It's the first time I've ever been really excited about a DC comic book movie since The Dark Knight. So I really can't. I hope it does well. I hope it does.
I was kind of excited about it until the shot in the trailer where a bullet is flying by them. Yep. In slow motion, and she's turning at the same speed to watch the bullet go and kill someone. I'm like, wait a minute. You can't do that.
Wonder Woman. She can.
You can't. No, you can't. I mean, it totally took me out of the trail. I was like, wait, you can't. No one. No. If you can do that, you can do anything.
Yeah. And the only thing I think that they're trying to, you know what it reminded me of, first of all, was the slow motions. Oh, God, what was the name of that movie? It was about squirrels and rodents and whatever. And there was a portion. Oh, God, what was that movie? It had Bruce Willis as the voice of a raccoon. And there was a sequence. Yeah. It's a really hilarious sequence where a squirrel, he's super, you know, like fired up and he runs really fast. But then they slowed everything down to kind of like his real time. And so like the world around him is slow. And that's how he's able to evade cars and other things like that. So,
okay.
Anyway, the reason I brought that up is because I'm thinking that how in the world does Wonder Woman, you know, block bullets with her
superpower? Okay.
So I'm thinking that maybe things slow down for her and she's able to be, again, this is a superhero power that she has.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a very good point. Over the Hedge is the name of that movie.
Oh my God, I never watched
The Over the Hedge squirrel sequence, and that's how I link the two.
Well, you make a really good point. It totally makes that scene make sense. I didn't think about it in that context.
That's what I got out of that one. Yeah.
Okay. It still took me out of that moment. It was just like, what?
It did for me too, because it felt like the bullet going into Superman's eye from Superman Returns.
Oh, but I love that part.
Oh, I hate that so much.
That was so awesome. It was so unexpected. Like, thing just like ricocheted off his eyeball.
You're telling me he wouldn't blink. just close. It's like, no, I'll let my eyeball do the work.
Maybe his eyelid isn't bulletproof, but his eyeball is. He knows what he's doing, man. Superman. Yeah, I'm like medium excited about Wonder Woman. I always was from the moment they announced it. I like her in it. I like the trailer well enough, but I'm like, whatever. If it's bad, I'm not going to be upset about it because it's kind of halfway what I'm expecting. But so that we didn't talk about that. We didn't bring up Justice League. So no one have a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Yes, we know it's coming. And I'm just not anticipating it. Why? Just not at all. Not even a tiny, teeny, teeny bit. Not at all. But maybe we'll be surprised. Who knows? So that's going to do it for this episode. Our most anticipated film scores of 2017. We just gave you 30 to look up if you haven't heard about them. We'd love to know which film scores you're looking forward to in 2017. If you have some that we missed outside of Wonder Woman and Justice League that you want to let us know about, you can do so. Send us an email at soundcast@tracksounds.com. Leave us a voicemail on our SpeakPipe widget. Hit us up on Twitter at TrackSounds or on Facebook. Eric, if they want to go directly to you and talk about Wonder Woman or Justice League, how can they do that?
I don't want to talk about Justice League. I will ban you. You're banned. But if you want to talk to me about anything else, Synth Sound Radio on Twitter, Cinematic Sound on Facebook, and of course, you can listen to the Cinematic Sound Radio Show at cinematicsound.net.
Awesome. Well, that's going to close episode 13 of Soundcast Stereo. So, I forgot my closing thing.
Keep it balanced.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's what it is. So, how do I even go into it? What do I say?
And don't forget to... No, I don't remember. It's been so long. We need a new one for 2017. Someone should bring it up. Someone should just send us a new 2017 catchphrase.
Catchphrase. Well, for this episode anyway...
It balanced. Balanced, wasn't it?
Yeah. I guess,
until next time, keep it balanced.
Yeah. That's it. Keep it balanced. Keep it fair and balanced. It's called a slow close.
Anticipation is what they're going to say at the end.